Good evening. I call to order the Monroe Public Schools Board of Education meeting. Today is November 11th, 2025, and the time is 7 p.m. Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Hutt.
Here.
Mr. Jenkins.
Here.
Mrs. Myers.
Here.
Mr. Sabadini.
Here.
Mrs. Carrasi.
Here.
Mrs. Vincent.
Here.
Mrs. Williams.
Here.
Can we please stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we begin, if you wish to address the board during the public commentary, please fill out one of the forms in the back, which would be to your right, my left. And once you've filled out the form, hand it to Jamie, our administrative assistant. Okay, Superintendent Shaw, are there any additions or deletions to the agenda this evening?
Yes, we do have one addition, new business 3E, 31AA, school safety and mental health lawsuit.
Can I get a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
I'll make a motion that we approve the agenda as amended.
We have support?
Support.
Any discussion? Hearing none. Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mrs. Carrasi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Hutt.
Yes, and the motion carries. I'll turn it over to Superintendent Shaw for his comments.
Okay, for my first round, there are no comments tonight.
Okay. Public commentary. Do we have any on the board agenda items tonight, Carrie?
Yes, we do.
Forgot Gary. Happy Veterans Day. Sorry.
Oh, and Dave.
And David. David. Right. Happy Veterans
Day. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
My question, I noticed that we're hiring a behavior tech, and I was just curious as to what that job involves and what are the qualifications. And then I'm hoping that there's a little discussion when we get to the regional enhancement millage as to what's involved. That's not just our normal tech millage, is it? Oh,
yes,
it is?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
But we'll talk
okay
about it.
Yeah.
Very good. Kay. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Yvonne.
Thanks, Yvonne.
Anything else, Carrie? Okay. Next board discussion action items. We have our contracted services and resignations report. Is there any discussion on those reports?
Is that position within those reports, Andy? Is that position within those reports?
Yeah, that's what I was just looking at. No, the behavior tech is in our staffing.
It's staffing, being contracted.
Item.
Being consent agenda.
Consent agenda.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to pull it to discuss it.
Do you want some explanation? Would that be, could I be
able to? Isn't that just an RBT?
It's an RBT, a registered behavior technician. Yeah. And through the end of last year, through the summer, we lost a few of who we had originally had, and we really do need. We're interviewing again on Thursday for. Are you looking at two more, Carrie, or just one, to bring it to our original number of 10? They're dealing with students. They're assigned randomly through the district with kids that are pretty hard to handle. I don't believe there's any at the high school, but we have one at the middle school, and we have throughout our K-4 buildings. Any at our 5-6?
I believe there is one.
One at 5-6. But we really have a need at a couple buildings for another two to make it 10. That was what our original allotment was. They are crisis prevention. They are the people that are trained to do the holds on children to make sure that they're not going to hurt themselves or others. They do have a certification, and they have to be overseen by a BCBEA, which is a BCBEA is a person that is a behavior.
Board certified behavior analyst.
Yeah. Board certified behavior analyst. So they're, we've had really good luck luck with them, with her students that have been, that it's written into their plans that they need more than just an independence facilitator.
Since we're on the subject, what is their ratio, student to staff? I didn't realize they were one-on-one. What is the ratio?
The ratio of?
She said they're individual working with students.
Right.
I thought it was like a group thing.
Well, they might be assigned to one or two children.
I just didn't know.
At a time.
I don't recall offhand what the ratio is, but I know the BCBA is monitored. There is, I think, a caseload max, but I believe we're well under that. They're only assigned to a couple students, and they would be at different times during the day.
I asked that as a former social worker and looking at caseloads. Only because you mentioned it, I didn't realize that's, I probably should have known that, but I didn't realize it.
And they go to building to building.
Okay.
I can only say that my wife and Adrian would love to have a registered behavioral technician. She has to do the holds and all those type of things.
Right.
And I get very frustrated when my wife has to get involved with that.
Right.
To the point of, why don't you just call the police and file an assault report every day? I understand that can't happen, but my point is, that's awesome that we're providing that, that level to our teachers, because that's something that gets taken off their plate, which is great.
We really feel strongly about that, and I know before Darla came on board, if we think of the changing of the board, when Matt Bunkelman was the person that really was pushing the need that he felt, and that board before the new board came on, had approved the 10 positions with the two B. Well, we had Jasmine, who was...
I remember when she came on.
Yes, we had Jasmine, but now we have two that are, that oversee the two, the 10 that we have. And because they have to be observed, and we count their hours and all of that for their certification to remain. They're very particular, so that's why they have to be overseen by a BCBA.
And Jasmine's still with us?
No, she is. Jasmine has...
Only because I haven't heard the name in...
She would have loved to stay, but she realized that she was great with kids and working on plans, but having to do that and supervise people was not what she wanted. She really, Mrs. Beverly and I talked to her, and she decided that she wanted to go back to just doing the other work that she was doing.
Okay. Next is our consent agenda. Before we get into this, just inform everybody there are two sets of minutes that have been amended. One is the October 17th, 2025 special board meeting open, and the other is the October 28th, 2025 special board meeting. Both those have been amended. Is there any items that on the consent agenda the board members would like moved off and moved over to new business? Hearing none, can I get a motion to approve the consent agenda with the amended minutes?
I move that agenda items B2A through B2B be considered as consent agenda with the additions as noted by President Heck, and the consent agenda items be approved as recommended.
Do we have support?
Support.
Any discussion? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Yes, Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mrs. Taurasi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Mr. Hack.
Yes, and the motion carries. Before we do move into new business, just provide some background and context of our agenda items. These items have been thoroughly discussed in work sessions, particularly the policies that we're going to have the first reading on, as well as the strategic plan. They've been thoroughly discussed, modified, updated. So all that work is done in the work sessions and addressed in our weekly board briefs. Those work sessions are open to anybody to attend. We certainly would encourage it. You can hear those discussions and see the points that we come to resolution on. So just as we vote on this, it's just context that we have actually discussed these thoroughly. Okay, now I'll turn it over to Superintendent Shaw for the first reading of the board policies.
All right, so tonight we're asking the board to move forward with accepting the policies as attached as a first reading. Understand that to our public that if you go through the board packet, you can see the changes in bold or new additions, and then the strikeouts would be removed. And so we are requesting that this is a first reading tonight of the attached policies.
Can I get a motion to accept the first reading of the attached policies?
I move to accept the following policies as presented as the first reading of board policy. Policy 131.1, bylaws and policies. 163, presiding officer. 1430, leave of absence. 2340, field and other district-sponsored trips. 3120, employment of professional staff. 3120.05, employment of personnel in driver ed and community ed. 3430, leaves of absence. 4120, employment of support staff. 4430, leaves of absence. 5136, personal communication device. 5320, immunizations. 5330, use of medications. 5330.01, epinephrine auto injectors. 5350, student suicide. 8320, personnel files. 8500, food services. And 8510, wellness. I would like to make a point. We have three policies listed as leaves of absence. And although it's not reflective on here, I believe the policy indicates that those are for different groups of staff.
That's correct. Thank you, Darla. Do we have support?
Support.
Further discussion on this first reading?
Yeah, that was just my biggest thing, is it sounds like we're reading, we have three with different numbers, but I believe they are clarified within the policies.
They're all different sections of the book, yeah.
Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mrs. Tarassi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes, and the motion carries.
So our next policy is up for a first reading. That is our purchasing policy, policy 6320. This one, we were trying to get some questions answered prior to our coming in. That's why this one was pulled out. And so I would like to, I know our protocol is that we take a motion on the policy. I would ask that we go through and answer these questions because the policy may end up having to be pulled and revised further. And so we do have a set of questions. And so the policy, though, the biggest thing for our community to understand, that the first level of change was adding the word services to the policy, and then clarity in that when we have to bring things to the Board of Education, that was clarified, requiring board approval. And then also then when it came to the services, when it comes to putting things out to a bid and or getting quotations. So services are a little bit different than if we're going to a construction project where you have to do sealed bids. So that's the distinct changes there. But I do want to open up to questions on this policy that we're still had.
Get a motion first. Can I have a motion on the first reading of policy 6320?
I guess I'm making them all. I move to accept the following policies presented as a first reading of board policy 36320, purchasing.
Do I hear support?
Support.
Okay, discussion?
All right.
You want to go through the questions?
Oh, I was going to say go through the questions that you already have written down, because
okay.
I have one. Might be answered.
Oh, you want me to ask them?
Yep, go ahead. Since
okay.
I want to make sure we get them accurate.
So when we get on to competitive bids, is that I'm looking at the bulk purchasing program. I'm looking at an option for local first. Is that included in there or?
That competitive bid section is only when it exceeds that state threshold as far as requiring a formal bid. And this is just indicating that a cooperative bulk purchasing program would count as a bid in that process, is my understanding. It's not prohibiting local companies from also being considered. And some of this is statutory language from the state as well.
My concern with that is, I think I've brought it up a bunch of times when we talk about bids, is the fact that if we're using a big bulk purchasing program and not local vendors, they have a difficulty in putting in competitive bids because they don't have the purchasing power that some of those local organizations have. And so my first choice would always be, can we support our local community first rather than being pushed out by some of these big conglomerates? I don't know where the policy indicates that that is a first option for us.
That's not my understanding of the policy. The way I read this is that it's just indicating that if an item or items can be purchased through the bulk purchasing program, they don't have to submit a formal bid that counts as one of the required three bids. That's not saying we're just going to go with the correct cooperative purchasing program. That's just permitting us to use those resources available as a quote.
Competitive bids are not required for items purchased through the cooperative bulk purchasing program. So where does it then indicate, you know, because it says, okay, they don't have to get a bid. And we understand that they can just put it straight out there. So if they don't, like, where does it fit in?
So that's the NCL they cite specifies what qualifies as far as meeting the state statute to be considered a competitive bid. So, for example, My Deal, which is the state of Michigan program, the state allows school districts to participate in that for a nominal fee each year, and the state provides all the bid documents of what was received, who was awarded the bid, and because all of those documents are already available on the website, you don't have to then go back to that company and ask for a competitive bid because you already have all that documentation.
Is that essentially what Buy Boards is what you're referring to?
Buy Board is a completely different...
Because we use that as well.
We have used that one time.
Okay. So where does the local fit in this? I just want to make sure that when we're looking at competitive bids, that the language in here is clear, you know, that local businesses and local communities have an opportunity.
It says, in two paragraphs down, it says consideration can be given to the quality of items, conformity with specifications, suitability to the requirements of the school, delivery terms, past performance, and local business vendor. I believe that's indicative that you can give preference to a local.
You can. I would like the language to be more specific that would be, which is why I put this on here in the way that I did.
But that's already, so what you're talking about right here is, as a board, and we'll use the example because it makes it the easiest one, is when we were working on putting the platform in for the stadium at the high school, okay, is that we could have bid it out locally and done all of the work as far as like the plans and push it locally, but we knew to expedite the work we could go through the buy boards right there and have it done in a much expedited way and save costs. We had already gone through the bidding process. When it comes back to the board, the board has the privilege of rejecting and saying, no, we want you to bid it fully out and let local bid on this so we can compare it. I mean, you have that right there to reject that recommendation we would make there. Now, when it really comes down to the only things, I think, Cassie, we need to bring clarity, because, like, for example, like right now, this would allow us to buy buses. So through MSBO.
MSBO has a bus purchasing program where they obtain competitive bids from various manufacturers of buses, and you can submit a request through that program to obtain the prices they've quoted. And so you don't have to go through a formal process to have those same vendors then bid to you. You can get the pricing that they've already guaranteed and solidified with MSBO by simply completing a document saying, these are the buses that I need with these specifications, and then MSBO provides all the documentation, and you can, once the board approves, proceed with making the purchase.
But that would be one of three, right?
No.
Is that a one and done, is what I'm hearing?
Yes. That one is, because they've already went out. That
because they'll provide you.
I understand that, but what about other vendors?
But that's my point, is that they, like in that scenario, they have already gone out to the state of Michigan, to all of the vendors who do buses, and say, we're put this request together. Do you want to put a bid in here so we know, so on this bus, this is what your charge would be. And so what they, reason why they do that is to expedite the work of the local, so you don't have to go through that process, and that your variables are eliminated, because the variables on a bus is our multitude, and so that's how they can narrow that down. So this is just saying that there's in those areas. So really, when we go back to it, there was one time that I think in our time together that we used that item right here, and it was more just so we could expedite the work at the football stadium out there. Otherwise, when it comes to using this, back to if we can stay local, we have stayed local. But that's when we're over top of that, but basically $30,000 now, too. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what I think the assurances that you're requesting is for the administration to point out is if we do use a competitive bid processing, this cooperative bid bulk purchase system is to then say, well, we're doing this because we don't have an option locally.
Right.
That's what you're asking, is that we disclose it. What we're purchasing through here isn't being able to be done locally.
Yeah, so that language isn't in here. So why not just include that on there?
Is there a time when we haven't provided that information?
So I always say we write a policy, and it's not for the seven of us that sit here or the, I don't do the math, how many people are sitting here. It's for the time down the road when we are not sitting here to be able to interpret the policy and say, well, we've always, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I'm asking for the language to be included in, that local vendors are always considered, regardless of a bulk purchasing program, which will always be sometimes.
That is in there. All orders or contracts should be awarded to the lowest responsible bidder. However, consideration can be given to F, local business / vendor. That's in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's in, you notice that's an F right here.
All under competitive bids, correct.
Okay.
And so that's why we say that at the end of the day, the board can reach, if you go, okay, where's the local bid, and we go, there isn't one, you can still say, we want to see local bid.
I just wanted it on the front end so we don't have to ask every time. That's my only point. Bring it on the front end. Say if it's available, we're going to bring in local bids along with a competitive bid rather than just bring a competitive bid and say, okay, if you want something.
But this one is only.
That was my only point.
I'm going back to.
That section is only applicable to those purchases over that 30,000 and some odd cents threshold that the state has. That section is only applicable to when a competitive bid is required.
I understand that. Yep.
Okay. So then, I guess for the whole board right there, what is the druthers here on that section was being raised?
I guess my opinion, it's covered in that verbiage that says all orders or contracts should be awarded to the lowest responsible bidder. However, consideration can be given to, and again, F, local business vendor. I think that's pretty clearly spelled out.
Rather than can, I would like the word shall.
It says should.
Okay.
It says should.
Well, I'm just putting it out there what my thought is on the policy.
Well,
not everybody has to agree.
Yeah.
But that was the language that I submitted like weeks ago for these questions to be answered. So it wasn't like I just came up with these tonight.
Oh, no. But this is an opportunity we have for the whole board to hear these.
Right. Yeah.
So the should can, you don't want to change that to shall, because if you put the word shall there, be awarded to the lowest responsible bidder.
I didn't say you had to keep the whole language. But.
Well, that's my point, though, is you don't want the word shall right there. You already have the list where it says local business and vendor.
Mm-hmm. there another question?
Yes, there is more questions right there. On that next page, it gets into second sentence. The board reserves the right to reject any and all bids. And so question came out, you know, about seeing the bids. And, you know, Cassie's office handles all the bids, so I wanted her to answer this.
So typically when motions are brought before the board for a project that has been bid out, included in the backup documentation is the bid tab with the recommendation from typically our architect, our construction manager, or one of the executive directors that's overseeing the project, indicating which vendor they are recommending for consideration. But those bid, that bid tab includes who bid, what their bid was, and if it was verified to be a valid bid. And we have had, I want to say, in the last year or two, there was a bid that was received that when Mr. Kohler's firm called to verify the bid, the vendor did indicate that he or she did not take into account a certain aspects of the project. So then that bid that was the lowest was determined to be not valid. So then that bid was not accepted, that was rejected, and then the next lowest valid bid was accepted. So that's already part of the process in place, that the board does see
all the bids.
Yes, ma'am.
So one of the things I want to be mindful of here is we're adding services. So services operates in a different way than what we typically operate in the way that all this is done. So as we're looking at the language of the policy, the language also has to fit for services, not just a manufacturing construction job. Mm-hmm. And I just want to be mindful of that to make sure we're capturing all of that in the policy as well.
Well, we know that with the services, it's against those thresholds that were already established on page one. So inside those thresholds, that's why it, you know, if it goes over that $15,000, it comes to the board. And so that's on page one that we addressed.
And this section is, again, still a continuation where it's only speaking about the projects or items that are required to be competitively bid per the state statute. It's not on every single purchase. This section specifically is still regarding competitive bids.
So the next question came on that very next paragraph. Contracts may be awarded by the superintendent without board approval for the single item or group of identical items costing less than 50% of the amount allowed by state statute. That goes back to the first page, mm-hmm. where that's already in our board policy. Is anything less than 50% that we have the ability to approve. Anything over 50% goes to the board. Anything mm-hmm. over 100% has to be bid out and so forth. So that one's how that happens. Bid protest. Cassie, have you ever seen a bid protest come through?
I have not, and this is statutorily required language in the policy.
The question was, has this ever happened? That's the only question that was on there. So.
Right, yeah. And I said no, and was just indicating that language there is all statutorily required.
So when we met last time, and this is why I'm happy we have Cassie with us here, is on the next general provision, the superintendent is authorized to purchase all items within budget allocation. So, Cassie, you want to address that one for me, please?
So that is just saying that the superintendent is not authorized to exceed the budget allocations that have already been determined by the board. Right. So if it would make more sense, when I was speaking about it with Mr. Shaw, I thought perhaps is authorized to purchase all items within the board approved budget instead of saying budget allocations, but I'm not sure in relation to the question that was raised if that would address that concern. And this is not saying that the superintendent can go around any of the other things laid out in this policy. It's just indicating that he has to still stay within the framework. He can't, just because it's under that $15,000 threshold, he can't just say, okay, go buy X, and within the board last board-approved budget, that amount is not there.
Correct. Does that bring clarity to that question? And then we'll go to the back page right here. Before placing purchase orders, superintendent shall check to this whole page. It really refers to the internal processes that Cassie has already established in her office, and the checks and balances for people to do work orders, purchase orders, and the approval of that.
So the question was, what or how is this being handled to prevent over budget? And specifically, it's the language whether sufficient funds exist within the budget. So when you look at the policy and say we have safeguards put in place, the question was, what and how is this being handled to be able to prevent any over budget and overspending?
Sure. So part of the policy when a staff member enters a purchase order is that it routes to me for approval. So I do look at a number of things. I look at where they've coded it, what they're purchasing, the amount of it. And as within the system, it allows me to look at what the budget is for that particular place that they're coding to ensure they're not exceeding the budget that has been allocated. So that's part of our internal process to check all that before I approve the purchase order.
And you're confident that the way the policy's written, it's sufficient?
I believe so.
All right.
Then we'll go down to letter C. Upon the placement of a purchase order, superintendent shall commit the expenditure against the specific line item to guard against the creation of liabilities and excess of appropriations.
That's already part of the process. When I approve the PO, the accounting system automatically posts it to the ledger as an encumbrance, so that commits that budget of that line item by the amount of the purchase order.
Because the rest of the part of that question was, if so, if this is being sufficient within the policy, how did our current situation happen? If these safeguards are built into the policy.
Yep. So remember that when the budget was passed last June, or sorry, we'll go back 2 years ago, the board, when it passed that budget, it showed that it was already going to use fund balance to get through the year. So that, when you look at, okay, how much fund balance is being used, it was already built in. So the budget was established knowing that some fund balance was going to have to be used. So when we look at the policy, we never went over a line item. We stayed inside the original budget. The original budget showed using fund balance to get through.
If we had exceeded any budget line item functions, which is the level that the board approves it, that would have been a finding on our audit.
And then procurement of federal grants. Notify the board of terms for acceptance of grants. And so this item right here, when we get federal grants, we're talking about our Title I or Title II, Title IV, I think, and
1, 2, 3, 4, Perkins, our WIOA adult ed grants, your child nutrition programs, federal funding, some smaller grants, the homeless grant through the ISD, Perkins, and every once in a while we get some other smaller ones, but those are all federal.
Mm-hmm. So, Cass, you want to just describe how this section works right here, especially around the compliance and the requirements mm-hmm. of using those federal monies?
The question was more in related to are there conditions for which the grants are accepted? Because we don't see that. And that was the biggest part of this was, you know, if we're signing these grants, what are the things that were required? I just figured that that would be a good place in the policy to identify, and how do we address that?
So there's actually four other policies that relate to federal grants that go into more detail. There's cost principles, spending of federal grants, grant funds, cash management of grants, and procurement of federal grants that goes into much greater detail. This is just a brief portion indicating that we're going to comply with the uniform guidance, which specifies how you can use funds that are federal related. Each grant varies just a little bit. And if, when we apply to the grants, like our Title I, Title II, Title III, and Title IV are all on one application. And within that, we're indicating that we're going to comply with the requirements of the specifications of each grant.
So maybe we'll pull the policies that do correlate to that and take a look at them then.
Sure.
So the other thing is, though, before we go too far here, is on this, the only way we get the money is it has to go to another level inside the state to approve it.
I'm just saying that being aware of some of those requirements and our current situation right now is a good example of that. Like something that comes up that we're required to concede on or to accept for the money, that it does, is the board aware of what that is? And maybe it's not a big relevance, but this current situation brings that up.
The current situation regarding that particular state grant, in my tenure as a school business official, this is the first time that the state has imposed a requirement that would require you at the present language to waive your privilege.
I'm not talking about that privilege. I'm talking about in general, like ESSER funds. There were things that you had to accept in order to do that. And I don't know if there are others in the grants that says, hey, in order for us to take the money, these are the things that we're agreeing to. And I just thought from a board perspective, that might be something worth us. We might like to know that information.
I guess I would need more clarification of what you're looking for, because each and every single grant, you have to agree to the conditions of that grant. Every grant has nuances of what you can and cannot spend the funds on, what the funding is intended to be used towards. There's conditions with every single grant, state, federal, or local, as far as what... So I guess I would need more clarification of
what you're looking for. Yeah, it wouldn't be the allocation of the funds, because the allocation of funds would be done at your level and where that money goes and how it goes to the grant. Is there any other requirements that that we would have to adhere to in order to accept those monies? For example, and I'm probably going to get this wrong, but it's the only example I can think of right now, was the DEI with the federal money. You know, if you do, you have DEI programs, there's a federal thing connected to that. So, you know, are there any things like that out there that we say, yeah, we've accepted the money and these are those kind of conditions? I'm not talking about a financial, I'm talking about beyond that from a system-wide. And that's the only example I can think of right
like
now.
Like on that example, which is a good example, that example last year we had to create a certification in our system there, acknowledging that we had no DEI programs. And so that we did that last, I think it was March. It was a while back.
It didn't get pushed out to me, so if it got to you, I don't recall the date.
Yep. But
that was just one example of something I can think of.
There's always,
I don't know all the other stuff. So.
And the entire grant applications for things have many layers of things that you have to go through. So for me to indicate like what conditions there are for every grant would be kind of lengthy. If that's something the board would like, I can certainly work on that. But
those are the kind of examples I'd be thinking of.
I mean, there's not anything that I've seen in my tenure in this position where I've been more involved with the grants, anything concerning come through as far as conditional things that you have to meet. The ESSER is
probably, do you understand my reason for asking? Those are two things right there that I can think of just quickly. Yeah. Then
ESSER,
I'm not familiar with all of the grants, so I can't break down more and give you more examples.
Right. Because ESSER, you did have to reserve a certain percentage to address learning loss. But, I mean, each grant is a little bit different for me to say exactly what all the conditions are. It's hard on the spot.
Yeah. I think we've got the gist of the question.
So we'll see if we can figure out if there are any unique restrictions.
For acceptances.
Yeah.
Can I ask a quick question? So previously, we're going to go way back in time. So starting back in April of 2023, we started talking about adding services to policy 6320. And then when it came up for its first reading in August of 2024, and then again for approval in September of 2024, we chose not to have that word put in because we got feedback from administrators and other people about how there might be, it might be prohibitive to have that term added in to the policy. And I just want to make sure that by adding the word services, where it's currently located in the policy isn't going to take us back to a very restrictive space. I just want to make sure that from other people, like other experts at the table, that we're not going to wind up in that situation again.
You're going to give the history?
No. I think it's a good question for Cassie. A lot of the concern back then was, would it be overly burdensome,
right,
particularly for accounting, if we threw services in there?
But the vote originally passed 7-0, and then the board came back right after that, re-put it back up, and it failed. 4-3 was the breakdown, I believe.
But my concern still stands, right?
Yeah.
Is that I still for me, I would like to understand from the scope of accounting, the scope of the people that are doing these types of purchases, that it's where it is now currently located in the policy, because it's also located in a different location than it was previously in August 24 and September 24. So the way that it's now written, is that going to be prohibitive? Is it going to cause any sorts of issues? That's my question.
In my opinion, the way it is worded in this go-round relieves some of the burden and the bogging down that it potentially could have caused with the way it was presented previously. I believe the way that Mr. Shaw has worded it is in the intent of the board having a little bit more oversight on the services without creating too much of a burden on the administrators and holding up any work.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mrs. Taurasi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mrs. Sabatini.
Yes.
Mr. Hatt.
Yes, and the motion carries.
Thank you very much. So our next item is the regional enhancement millage. The regional enhancement millage is our tech millage. It's called the regional enhancement because that's legal terms, but in essence, it's the tech millage. And so we're requesting that the Board of Education from Monroe Public Schools move to adopt a resolution to move forward with the regional enhancement millage renewal for the county.
Can I get a motion on the resolution for the regional enhancement millage?
I make a motion to approve the resolution for regional enhancement millage as presented.
Do I have support? Okay. Discussion. Just for the attendees, this is the tech millage. It's really a renewal of what we currently have, which is countywide. So this resolution would just add Monroe Public Schools to the other schools in the county to support this millage renewal.
Andy, do you have the answer to those questions from earlier?
I do.
Thanks.
So the one question that was posed is, what did it cost Monroe Public Schools to be for the election back in 2016? $7,133. What it cost Monroe Public Schools.
And just as a side note, we only see election costs if there's nothing, like if they're running that ballot just for that proposal, or, you know, if there's multiple single thing proposals and no other election pieces on there, that's when we see the cost.
Do we know if there's anything else on that ballot as of now? Because this isn't due till February 10th, right?
No, this is...
I think that what the language say in there?
So looking at the timelines, that the schools, on or before Friday, November 28th, need to make their decision here, then the ISD board has to then also move it. So they're trying to make sure that they get it. Because the ISD board is actually the ones that have to. So we're putting the request in through this motion to the ISD board.
And this covers from 27 till when?
They're typically 5 years.
Yeah,
so 27 plus 5 would be 32.
Thank you. Putting it on the record so we're very aware of what we're voting on.
It is a renewal, and it's a .98 renewal, so it's not changing one bit there.
Yeah.
Was that all those questions, ma'am?
Yes, that's all I had.
Any further discussion? Hearing none. Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mrs. Wilson.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Dinkins.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mrs. Taurasi.
Yes.
Yes, and the motion carries.
All right, so it is with great joy and excitement that we present the strategic plan to the Board of Education. Before we go into it, I do need to point out that we did make two quick fixes to 4A. So if you flip to the back, page 92 of your packet. So on that area right there, 4A, now reads, Monroe Public Schools will achieve an annual 80% satisfaction rate among families who identify the district as a valued, trusted, and collaborative partner in supporting student growth and success. And then for AII, Monroe Public Schools will work collaboratively with 10 community partners annually to support students. And those are the two final two changes that we needed, that were needed to made. Otherwise, I believe we've captured everyone that all the points that people were making. And so it is our pleasure to present this strategic plan, the goals to you for approval tonight. And then remember, after it's been approved, we'll go to work on making it look really pretty and get it published.
Okay, can I get a motion on approving the strategic plan with the amended 4A and the addition of 4AI?
I move to approve the strategic plan with the additions of 4AI and 4AII.
Perfect. Close it.
Support.
Further discussion?
We just need to address the strategy and the KPIs, Andy, to make sure that they're captured on there with the new language as well.
Oh, they will.
Yeah. I'm just saying that I just want everybody to be aware of the fact that when we vote on this, not only is what we discuss going to be updated, but those actions and KPIs will have to be updated to support that as well.
Okay.
So this isn't the final product that we're voting on.
I would just like to say thank you to all of the people from our Monroe Public Schools community that participated in the construction of this, for giving us your feedback, for participating in focus groups, for coming to talk to us about where you want our school district to go. It's really, really important for us to have that information as we move forward. So it's very, very valuable, and we understand that your time is also very valuable. So thank you very much for that investment.
This was truly a community effort of all sorts of community groups, parents, teachers, administrators. I mean, quite a diverse group. So, again, thank you for everybody who participated. Do we have any additional discussion? If not, Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Dinkins.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Yes.
Mrs. Taurasi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mr. Hatt.
Yes, and the motion carries.
And so our last item, E, is the 31AA school safety and mental health lawsuit. It's a recommendation of administration that the Board of Education join the Macomb ISD in a lawsuit requiring schools to opt in, which was requiring schools to opt in to receive 31AA funding.
Do I have a motion about the 31AA lawsuit?
I am making a motion that the Monroe Public Schools, we join the Macomb ISD lawsuit regarding the 31AA funds.
Do we have support?
Support.
Discussion?
So this is a situation we haven't found ourselves in before. And there are, I'm going to say 100 moving parts, but I think I'm not even capturing the totality of the moving parts in relationship to this. And, you know, I don't believe that, I just don't feel like I have all the information necessary to make a decision on this, and because a yes vote means I totally understand why we're joining this, and a no vote means I totally understand why we're doing this, and I don't know that I can confidently say I understand either one of those.
I don't see a problem with it, because Jeremy pointed out somewhere along the line, if we don't like this, we can withdraw from the lawsuit. Yeah. So we're under no obligation.
So the clarity of what you're asking.
I didn't either.
He did say that.
He did say that.
I wasn't listening very well.
Yeah.
That was so, if it was a class action. I thought that was under the language of class action.
In general.
Including the federal?
Yeah, state and federal. So to draw clarity for what you're asking about is that by joining the lawsuit, you're saying that we believe that it's wrong that the state of Michigan, through the process of the budget, is making it so that you're going to give up privilege by taking this money. And we're not voting on the money, but that they put that parameter in there. And so you're joining everyone else saying we disagree that that is wrong to take that right away from us. And then the liability of keeping that language in there. And the other fight becomes is that we're really saying in general is please stop, because if this goes through and it stays, what's that next item? And so that's why this has been moved about, and it's been very fast. And the only reason it's so fast is November 30th is the deadline for schools to make that selection as far as to opt in or opt out. The last part of it being is when this lawsuit is, whether we are a part of it or not, will impact us, because it's designed for all the schools. They're doing this on behalf of all the schools in the state of Michigan. Mm-hmm. So someone's stepping up saying, we've got to do something right here. So that's why Macomb ISD and Ingham ISD are taking the lead on this to try and get the legislature back to the table to rectify this. But when it's all said and done, the hope is that every school in the state of Michigan gets their equal distribution of this and not having to opt in. That's the ultimate goal. So it's not like the schools that are opting in are going
to
be.
Well, whether we get in a lawsuit or not is irrelevant to whether we make the decision to opt in or opt out. One isn't related to the other. But I understand I understand what you're saying. So my point on that is Monroe ISD has already signed on to the lawsuit, right? So Monroe ISD represents all the districts in the area. So when you're looking at 25 ISDs, that represents a lot of different schools.
Well, those aren't 25 ISDs. Those are 25. ISDs or public schools.
And please
remember too that the ISD does not and cannot represent, say, Monroe Public Schools is a part of this. They are saying that they are
taking it as the ISD for the county. Right.
And so that's a distinct difference there.
I mean, I think we all listened to what was said.
Yeah.
And I don't personally see any upside. And I feel as well as Darla, there's too many moving parts for me to say that I would know. I wish I could vote present or abstain, but that's not allowed.
That's right.
Only in the U.S. Senate can you do that, apparently.
No,
not on a school board, so. You cannot.
No, you cannot.
I know, I just said that. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe if I can give some context, because I see some eyes out in the audience that don't understand what's going on.
Thank you.
So in the budget that was passed very late in October, at 3 a.m. in the morning, with only 45 minutes to review, the governor put in there a requirement contingency that if we take the 31AA grant, which is basically safety focused, we would have to give up all our privileges, which would include attorney-client privilege, which
student teacher privilege.
To student teacher every privilege. in the case of what they called a mass casualty event, which very broadly said an event that would include one fatality or three severe injuries.
Yep.
This doesn't necessarily mean like a shooting, God forbid, but it could mean a bus accident. It could be anything.
A fight
in the grandstand, in the stands at a football game where three people got injured of some level or magnitude. So it's very broad, very vague, and would really open us up for probably more legal actions against us or any school. And there was no time limit on that as well. So this would be significant from that respect, but also according to people that have discussed with us, it probably opens it up for our insurance, liability insurance rates to increase dramatically. And as Andy said, as of this evening, at least 25 different either ISDs or schools or school districts have joined the lawsuit, which would include Traverse City Schools, Marquette Schools, several very large school districts have already joined this. The risk of financial of us having to include funds is fairly minimal. So I guess it's my opinion that this makes sense to put more pressure on the courts to get this overturned.
I just want to make clear that I'm opposed to exactly what they're doing. We're just voting on whether we join the lawsuit.
Yep.
I don't believe there's anybody sitting on this board who wants to see this go through.
Right.
No. So when I vote no, that doesn't mean I'm saying I want this to happen. Yeah. This is just procedurally about joining a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Understand that we will have until roughly November 24th to decide if we want to accept the funds or not.
And that was part of the, you know, where we sit is, you know, we're not talking about, you know, it's everybody in the district that has privilege. And privilege exists for a reason, and it's not privilege that you're superior to someone else. It means that, you know, in the day-to-day business, there are certain things that can be expected. And so the fact that this was thrown in there, you know, it really has shaken everything up, and it's sent things into an overdrive. It's just whether we believe as a board or as an individual that we want to get into the lawsuit. Fair enough.
And then also a portion of the lawsuit, the intent of the lawsuit, and correct me if I'm wrong, everybody, is the term injunction to basically say, hey, you need to pause what you're doing. Don't start sending money out to school districts. Don't start sending out the 31AA money to school districts until we get this all straightened out.
Right.
So that would not force our hand into voting on November the 24th to decide to either accept these terms as they currently stand or say, no, we're not taking this funding. So that's also another component of the lawsuit that we're discussing if we should join or not join.
And so then it becomes, do we believe the governor, since she made this decision, do we believe the governor is going to listen to the districts and say, yeah, I made a mistake, and I shouldn't do that? And so does it take one district to say that? Does it take all of them? You know, that's wherein we lie. Where do we think this is going to go?
I would hope that the more school districts that join the lawsuit, it would send a message. That's my...
At least to get the legislature involved in doing something to amend the budget and remove the restrictions on using those funds.
Yep.
It doesn't seem to be political at all.
No, it's
on both sides of the aisle, yeah. So what the governor is benefiting on this, I really don't know, you know. But it's up to us to put pressure on our legislatures later.
If we can, the injunction can delay it, give the legislature some time to resolve this and get something back to the governor with those restrictions removed.
What's interesting is the districts have moved quicker than the legislature on this, and it is a legal issue. I just have to put that out there.
Sometimes the schools can mobilize very quickly on things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
No.
Mr. Sabadini.
No.
Mrs. Tarassi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
No.
Mr. Hutt.
Yes, and the motion carries. Okay, since we have no old business tonight, I'll turn to Superintendent Shaw for his second set of comments.
Oh, thank you very much. And I want to say thank you to Yvonne for pointing out about Veterans Day today.
Thank you.
A special appreciation to our two gentlemen in the room right now and to everyone out there that's on our live stream and for their service to our country. Half day of school tomorrow. We have PD occurring, and so our students are probably pretty happy. I would like to also say nice try, students, on Sunday night. You're about a day early for getting a snow day. You needed to change up your antics to try and get that snow day out of us. That is coming most likely, the way they're talking out there. Couple other things. Fall sports is wrapping up right now, so a big congratulations to all of our students on that. And then and winter sports are kicking off right now. Then lastly is Orlando. So the Monroe High School musicians are heading to Orlando over Thanksgiving break. The Trojan Marching Band will be marching at Epcot. The Monroe High School Orchestra and Choir Ensemble will be performing at the Universal City Walk. All student musicians will be performing at the Sound Design, Music, and the Art of Folly Workshop. So that's over there. I know, Carrie, you've got a crew heading down there with all the instruments ahead of time, and then our kids are going down there, so it should be an enjoyable time. And
I'm so excited to be driving the truck down there. Good job, so, Carrie.
At least when you get there, it'll be warm, though.
So that's what I have for my comments tonight, sir.
Okay.
At least you're headed south.
Carrie, do we have any?
We do not have any other.
Okay. Board member commentary. I would like Mary to go first.
I like it.
Thank you. So I attended the MASB, the Michigan Association of School Boards Annual Leadership Conference in Traverse City, October the 23rd through the 25th. That was where the delegate assembly was, and I acted as our voting delegate. The theme for the conference this year was Beyond the Horizon. So everything was like outdoorsy themed and like hiking themed, and it was very cute. So each year MASB offers a variety of CBA courses, which is basically courses for board members to learn about specific content areas. They offer certifications if you take certain courses within a certain process. The class that I needed for my finance certification wasn't being offered, so bummer. But while I was there, I was able to meet up with Amy Dryhorst, who's on the Bedford board, Iggy Bajaro, who's on Jefferson, Melissa Tweehoos, who's on the Flat Rock board, and Dale DeSlover and Paul Miller, who's on our Monroe ISD board. Like I said, Thursday was the delegate assembly. All of the proposed amendments and proposed amended resolutions, there we go, passed. None of the floor resolutions that came up that night passed. And then Friday and Saturday, that's basically the main conference. Most people either go to CBA classes or they go to like the general conference sessions. I was going to general conference sessions this year. There were topics ranging from AI in schools to closing achievement gaps to overviews of recent litigation. Shucks that this didn't happen sooner. But there's one of my favorite sessions that happens every year on Saturday during lunch is it's basically news from the Capitol with Jennifer Smith. She's absolutely fantastic, and she basically talks about recent litigation, upcoming bills, things like that. And she is incredibly knowledgeable. So hint, hint, everybody, next year's MASB Annual Leadership Conference will be in Lansing, October 14th to 18th, and man, would it be great if somebody went with me. Just saying.
I don't think she was talking to you, Andy.
No, I'm just happy it's in Lansing.
Mary, did any discussion come up of the Board of Education health framework that they've proposed, which is very controversial?
So, no, because nobody made a floor amendment, or not a floor amendment, oh my goodness, it's a late night. So there wasn't any proposals coming from the floor. However, people did try to add content about that to existing amendments. Mm-hmm. Those didn't pass at the delegate assembly. But if we want to write a resolution for that, I'm very happy to take that to the Resolutions and Bylaws Committee. We meet again in February.
Okay.
So we always meet as a committee Thursday afternoon to prepare for the delegate assembly, because we organize and run the delegate assembly that evening. But I'm very happy to take that to our meeting in February, and then that would just appear if it passes committee and it passes the board of directors. That would just appear in the handbook as one of the things that the constituency would vote on.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll have to consider that. Stacy.
I would just like to say thank you for the CTE presentation. I was actually involved with HOSA and became a nurse. So,
yay.
And thank you for your service, and thank you for your service.
Mm-hmm. Gary?
Yeah. We were talking before the meeting. I would like to have the seven members of the board be able to have their own session and discuss things that we want on the agenda. Mm-hmm. It seems like things that we would like to talk about are always pushed off the agenda for other things. And just the simplest example is giving money to the band. You know, that was 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. And we still haven't had a chance even to discuss that. You know, I would like us to talk and have the board set the agenda, what we would like to talk about every month, to clear our consciences and get the things that are troubling us out of the way. Okay?
Okay.
That's all I got. Mm-hmm. And thanks for everything. You guys did good.
Okay. Darla?
Actually, that was on my agenda to bring up the same topic, because there are things that we brought up, and I know we have the new board, the new response form, and if you look on there, there were things that were brought up in September, and there were things that were brought up in October, and there's things that are brought up that don't come to fruition. I know we had some, and it was on there because I re-looked at it today, as to a conversation that we wanted to continue, and now a couple of months have passed when we wanted to have the conversation. The one was the proficiency grades. We were talking about SAT and MCAT. We did not get to middle school, and we did not get to high school on the level that I felt that we could have addressed. I wanted to know some information, and that never got back on the agenda either. So I'm with Gary. There are a lot of topics that I know are important to a lot of board members here that we would not only just like information more on, but to be able to possibly take some action on. So I support that.
Okay. Carrie?
Just a couple things. Right now I'm missing this all fall sports banquet, so looking forward to hearing all about that from my son and my husband. Next Friday, the 21st, the band will be performing at the City Tree Lighting downtown at Loringer Square. So come check that out. They'll light the tree at 7, and then pretty much the crowd dissipates afterwards.
We stayed in Pros last year.
The Rotary is doing the holiday tree walk thing down at Veterans Park, and that opens, I believe, to be lit on the 22nd. And it'll be remain throughout the season, so check that out. Lots of great things going on. And watch the Monroe Instrumental Music Boosters Club page on Facebook for all the updates on their trip. There'll be lots of pictures and videos, and we're excited about it. Should be fun.
Ryan?
First, Allison is doing progressing well at Owens Community College. She's doing her checkoffs. I think the next one she's working on now is called the Foley checkoff. I don't know what that means. I'll Google it and find out.
I do.
I heard it's very difficult. I know exactly. I think I know. I think I know. I think I know what we're talking about already. Okay, but thank you for the CTE programs. They're outstanding. I just hope we can augment some stuff. And I know I want to talk with you now and Amelia about getting those control boards, because if she can do programming, that's a big part already out of the way. So that's great. Last night, it was during our work session. I'm glad we had more discussion on ADA compliance. Something I want people to know that we take very seriously. I know I do, and I believe every other board member does as well. And not just the law, but the fact of the human dignity that Mark Kohler talked about, and being intentional when we look at our projects. I know we don't have an unlimited amount of cash, but when we can, we should do so, and I believe that we are proceeding in that direction. So, and I do want to get the band things figured out as well. That was on my list. I think it was universally four people. The band. Helping out with the band costs. That's all.
Okay, a couple things. I do want to thank Carrie for driving the truck. I give you a lot of credit for that.
I might be napping.
That's a long trip. That's a long drive.
Driving. No, my husband will be driving safely.
Thank you for clarifying.
Also, when she mentioned the Christmas trees at Veterans Park, I believe, and I don't know the process, you can actually sponsor one, come in and decorate it. So if you get a hold of Rotary, I'm not sure who to contact.
Mark Kohler is a good.
Okay, Mark Kohler. And sponsor a tree there. That would be great.
Bridgetown's doing one too.
Yeah, good. Oh. It's good to hear.
I'll buy for Bridgetown. Yeah.
Leah, thank you. I think you're aware that I think there's five of us going to Community College tomorrow to look at their precision machining lab. Troy Elliott has agreed to give us a little tour, and actually we're going to see about 30 minutes of his class, so we'll get to see the class in action. So thank you for the contact and getting me that arranged. On a more serious note, Andrew Hoppard is having a serious medical issue, so please keep him in your prayers. I believe he's in New York City having some treatment. I was kind of shocked when I saw him when he came in to vote last week. So please keep him in your prayers, because it is very serious. So that's all I have. So can I get a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Support.
Show of hands. Okay. The Monroe Public Schools Board of Education meeting for Tuesday, November 11th, 2025 is adjourned. The time is 8:12. Let's take about 5 minutes, and then we'll come back and finish up.